Hi, I'm Laura.
Hey, I'm Stefan, and you're listening to Attributed, a podcast library by DreamData.
The purpose of it is to store and share all the knowledge that we have gathered across DreamData employees through our LinkedIn Lives, podcasts, and webinars.
The typical topics you'll find here can be stuff like marketing,
sales,
B2B ads,
operations,
social selling maybe.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining in. Today, we're going to touch one of the most hot topics in B2B go-to-market, in B2B sales at the moment, which is buyer intent and understanding what is it actually. Is there value in it? Is it just like hot air, or how can you actually operationalize it and help your business make more money and make more revenue? And to talk about this topic today, we have a, would you call yourself an expert, Stephen? You've at least been in a company that has been doing this kind of thing for a long while. So I'm sure you can teach us a bunch of stuff today. But before heading into today's hardcore topic, maybe can you just give us the general introduction to yourself and who you are?
Yeah, definitely. And thanks for having me on. I'm really looking forward to this session and hopefully proving that there is a lot of value within intent data and it isn't just smoke and mirrors, because I know that a lot of people have been playing around with it for maybe a long time, and some people are probably a bit more new to what intent data actually is. But just to give a little bit about myself, I'm Stephen Brenner. I sit within the Dealfront partnerships team. So what that means is I work with our agency partners and resellers to make sure that they can fully understand our platform, how to utilize the data within it, and make the best out of that, really. So I get to sit down with amazing agencies and get to see how they implement our tooling and the strategies that they put in play and what that kind of means from there. But how I came to this role and become a part of Dealfront, which is the success of a merger between Leadfeeder and Echobot, who were both in the kind of website intelligence and then B2B contact and company database industries, was that I was at a inbound marketing agency, HubSpot agency, for about 3.5 years as a lead strategist. So always looking at ways of how we could improve our inbound marketing as a whole and deliver those services. So spending a lot of time looking at different ways of adding data to our strategies. So that gave me a lot of kind of insight into the world of intent data. But just to give you a little bit of a background of what is Dealfront. Dealfront is a leading go-to-market revenue platform for sales and marketing, and helping kind of them with taking the guesswork out of the prospecting, sales and marketing. So giving them the right data so they can make database decisions or data-led decisions. So around the company itself.
Super nice. And were you a user of the, was it the Leadfeeder back then?
Leadfeeder. Yes, we were. So we did by marketing and also sales enablement. And one of the things they always had difficulty in was proving that we were driving the right traffic to our customer sites, improving the value, and also helping with our sales enablement piece. So making sure that we were giving our clients the right intel on their ICPs, making sure that we were giving them the right signals on when to reach out and how best to do so, and looking at ways of how we can improve that personalization of their outreach. So that's how we kind of went into that full research time and were able to come across Leadfeeder, and then still got to play around a lot within that kind of understanding, I'd say, who's coming to where they're spending time, what their intent is, and then utilizing that marketing. So understanding how, you know, which channels are working best, which touch points were happening across the sales cycle, and then how we could then use that within our sales. The organizations were prioritizing correctly and then making sure that they were reaching out with the right messaging at the right time. So that's where we were kind of playing around with the tooling and seeing a lot of success.
Super nice. I think that's a very sounds almost like you were super users of the product back then. Okay, but if we jump into today's topic of buyer intent, for everybody listening, it would be lovely to have like an actual definition, at least in your opinion. What is what's buyer intent, and what would you categorize as like weak intent, and where you probably sometimes also waste your time a little bit when you chase that? And what would you characterize as strong intent, where you absolutely need to act when you see it?
Yeah, so a little bit glitchy, so hopefully I understood the question properly. But So first, kind of understanding 10 data, it's probably best to break it down into the different types that we have, because we have quite a few different options of intent data out there in the market. So one of the ones that most people would have heard be kind of keyword or search intent. So we'll be mainly around what searching, what they're possibly in the market for. Then you will have topic and category. So that's like the information you would get from a Bombora and other providers within the space. You'll then have second party. So this will be not particularly a website that you own. So it'll be other kind of parties that are writing about you. So a Trustpilot, G2, things like that, where your organization is mentioned, and you might have signals of people looking into G2 to start to understand a little bit more about your offering. Then you'll have first party.
Third parties, people who are not aware about your name specifically or necessarily, but, and then second party is when your brand name starts to be mentioned, but on not on your own properties.
Really good way of splitting that out.
Yeah.
And then first party is on your own. So this will be on your website. So seeing how people are engaging with your different collateral. This can be really valuable from being able to spot people that are now aware of you within the market, aware of the kind of problems that you solve for. And is really great for marketing to start to understand how that is resonating with the ICP, and then also for your sales team to be able to prioritize who they should be reaching to, what messaging, things like that. And then we have, it's probably less out, is print, or what we class as triggers. Is there things that are being mentioned on social that they're talking about at the moment? Have they just gone bring rounds? For instance, see funding that might mean that they might get to their tech stack recently, or a piece of tech that aligns with your offering. And, you know, sometimes, let's say if someone's bought HubSpot, it might be interesting that they then need to power that CRM with company data and contact data. So you might want to sit alongside your partners, and then it might be a great time to reach out. So that would be a really high value kind of intent signal. Like a technographic piece where you, I'd say, align really well with the tech stack that they've just acquired. And it's a perfect time to be able to reach out and kind of be able to offer a solution to them. So,
sorry for interrupting you, Stephen. Can you kind of categorize these kind of three areas, like first party, your own entities, other people's entity, but what would you, and then just people who looks like they're showing intent? Which of them would you, are there any specific stuff where you'd say that these are strong intent signals, and what are like weaker intent signals?
Yeah,
or are they just those, like, is it just a ladder of intent?
Yeah, of course. So one way to think about it is that each business will be different. Each organization's way of looking at their kind of prospecting will be different, and different signals will mean different things to different people. So I would always, when looking at different kind of getting into intent data, you've got to look at the overall quality, you've got to look at the overall quantity, the relevance to you as an organization, ease of use. So how are you actually going to implement this into your sales process? So kind of one that's easier to understand than another might be first party interaction on your website, and those touch points are going to be a lot easier to understand and implement into your sales cycle than pre-intent, because it can take a little bit of time to fine-tune those things, such as, let's say you set up a trigger for those financial rounds, so where companies have just gone through a funding round and have raised. That might be a really interesting trigger for you if you've got a particular solution that companies at that particular round of funding will look to purchase, but you've still then got to go into more of an outbound motion. So that's a little bit tougher than something that might be warm inbound, as we call it, from more of a first party touch point, from people kind of interacting with your brand, being aware of your solution, and kind of being a little bit later down the sales funnel.
And then is this a tool, or like intent data, would you say it's typically used by the marketing team, or is it more the sales team, as sales team also being the BDR team having to book the new meetings?
Yeah, of course. So it tends to be, as we see within a lot of SaaS, that the marketing team will be the one that kind of gets involved in the earlier kind of research and maybe kind of first point of being able to understand the technology, how they're looking to implement it. But then end users, it can be just as much marketing as it is sales. But what we do find within in templates, because marketing teams are normally well equipped to be able to come up with the best ways to implement, the best ways to create content around the level of intent, that marketing can tend to lead the way in thinking about how they're going to implement it into their orgs. But the sales team are definitely going to be main users, champions, and going to be needed to really see success utilizing intent data. If they're not pulling it into their process, if it's kind of thrown at them and they see all of this valuable information but they don't know how to actually implement it into their day-to-day, it's never going to see traction. You're not going to have any change management, and they're going to just fall back on their kind of normal process. So it's got to be something that sales see value in. So what I normally advise a lot of the time, and something that I've seen success in even in the agency times, was making sure that you found a champion. Show them how they can see success with intent data. Work with them to find a process that works, that is potentially scalable, and then work backwards from there. And that's something where I've always seen kind of success in that change management piece, and being able to actually see value in the intent data. You know, whether it's kind of powering them building out their target audience that they're going to reach out to, or whether it's understanding where they're prioritizing their time when they're actually already in the sales cycle and they're looking at their pipeline and they're trying to understand who should I be spending time, who should I not, those sorts of things.
It's an interesting challenge, and I guess I think also for your sales process that is kind of, maybe in general, it would probably be the marketing team who have spurred the intent to actually happen. But for the return on the investment in the tool, you have to have that the sales team actually acting on the signals and trying to bring people into to further sales conversations.
Correct, yes. So marketing and sales alignment is definitely key in general, but very much so when it comes to utilizing and seeing success with intent data.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think for our sake, we're a customer of G2 so right now. So when that's kind of that second bucket between your website, so whenever interesting accounts are on certain categories on G2, we get that signal and then we give it to the sales team and say, hey, there's something here to go chase. But what would you say the most common types of, maybe even kind of are the most commonly used buyer intent signals that companies operate on today?
Yeah, so the main ones is going to be the mix between that first party element and then the search intent data. So those are the kind of two main ones that you find a lot of people operating within. One where they're kind of trying to work on that pre-intent and trying to get ahead of competitors, so that they're trying to reach people that maybe are very on within their kind of, they might not have even kind of discovered that they've got a particular problem that they're trying to solve. They just know that there's something that's broken and not working, and they're doing that very early search phase. And so that search intent and trying to get ahead of, I'd say, competitors and start to do that helping an awareness piece very early on is something that kind of marketers and salespeople are very interested in. And then people are now aware that they have a potential problem that they're trying to solve. They're doing that deep search, they're landing on your kind of top of the funnel content. And that's something where marketing are trying to utilize that data for data-driven paid advertising to kind of really target those people that are in that search phase. Sales teams are trying to understand, right, these are people that are potentially entering the market. We need to prioritize our outreach, and how do we then also personalize that? So rather than sending a very generic message, they can then start to go, well, actually, they came in to our blog. It's focused on this particular topical area. So I'm Stephen from Dealfront, and we solve for these areas. I'm going, is this an issue that you're facing? And here's some further information of where we can. It's more of a natural conversation as well. That's one thing that intent data really does power you to do, is give a better customer experience, because you're now focusing on what is their intent and personalizing that conversation and having a more human conversation than something where you're having to do research, make assumptions, and potentially missing the mark and not being able to connect at that level.
It absolutely makes sense. Have you seen, and feel free to name drop a few cases here, when have you seen in buyer intent data really been very powerful for companies? Are there any specific types of companies or certain industries or certain sizes that are like particularly ripe for acting on intent data or buyer intent data?
The kind of intent data space is so large, it's not industry diagnostic as a whole. You can, if you find the right data sources with the right information, you really can, from any industry, find success. It's all around that quality, quantity, and relevancy. But I kind of see a lot of success, especially within technology space, within the SaaS industry, where they've been able to implement it well, because we truly understand normally that alignment between sales and marketing. We also understand personalization. So intent data is really kind of good for tailoring personalization, whether that's within sales teams and within their conversation, or whether that's on the actual website itself. So rather than someone coming through to the site and having a very generic journey, you're using that intent data to personalize that journey further, so that you're giving a better experience. So companies that are probably have that sales and marketing alignment piece are more customer centric and do kind of have data at the forefront of how they're implementing their sales and marketing kind of strategies, normally ones that fit best into utilizing it in intent data, just naturally, just due to their understanding of how to implement such strategies.
That topic continues to pop out in almost any discipline nowadays, that it really has to be a coherent team effort of how we do things instead of just running in each of our own directions. So if you're listening out there, like if you're not friends with the sales team or vice versa, if you're not friends with the marketing team, make sure you go have that beer or eat that lunch together or have that coffee together. Could you give some examples of some very like just buyer intent playbooks? So you get the information, kind of what are the small, easy things you can start doing once you start having access to buyer intent? Like I'm thinking, running ad campaigns or like this type of mail works, or like what are the evergreen things that often work?
Yes, definitely. So one of the cool things that you can do with first party, so when visitors are coming onto your website, you're understanding, not just looking at, if let's just do a quick kind of view of it. So if you were looking at this information within Google Analytics, you're going to see that traffic information, and you might see some great success in your content, and you're driving that traffic. But if you're using a first party tool and you're actually understanding these companies are visiting our website, whereas you might have, utilizing Google Analytics, decided to run, because you're seeing good traffic, some retargeting campaigns, and you might have just ran something that was quite generic, utilizing first party intent, you can start to say, well, actually these particular companies that match our ideal customer profile are coming onto our site, they're engaged in this particular content area that we solve for, and we're seeing really good engagement. So rather than spreading the budget quite broad, we're going to go really targeted. We're going to start retargeting these companies, utilizing account-based targeting, and utilize those strategies. So you can do retargeting on one of our solution actually supplies a tool called Promote, which is a programmatic display advertising tool. So one of the things that we see a lot of success in companies doing is retargeting companies that are visiting and showing good levels of intent, positive signals, and kind of retargeting them right the way through the sales funnel. So not just kind of the top and bottom, but right the way through the sales cycle, and they're utilizing really targeted advertising right the way through. And that's something that you can leverage quite easily within being able to implement first party intent.
That's a good example. And I think we put out some benchmarks last year of the average customer journey in B2B being 192 days. So
yes,
if you just only pay for the first click from advertisement, then you're still very far from having actually won a deal. And I think then it makes a lot of sense to continue to stay top of mind with these accounts that do come to your website. Are there any other examples you have in mind besides the retargeting ones, Stephen?
Yeah, so it'd be unfair to not go on to sales teams and how they can kind of leverage first party. So we have a lot of organizations, especially within the SaaS space, that, you know, when we were in that, unfortunately, we're not in that high growth phase like we were last year, but when we were, and we were seeing high levels of inbound, a lot of sales teams, you know, inbound can be seem great when you're getting all of these leads coming straight through and you want to reach out to everything and try and give every opportunity the same time, energy. But if you're spreading yourself so wide, it's going to mean that you're going to lack on conversion rates, you're going to struggle. So one of the things when implementing first party intent is you can utilize that to be able to help you prioritize. So rather than wasting time on opportunities that potentially aren't going to convert and not showing the right intent, you can start to use that first party and other elements of intent data to be able to help you prioritize initially, so that you're narrowing down kind of your pipeline and just focusing on people that are going to hopefully move through with that right velocity. You're going to be able to also understand the different touch points that are happening as well. So if you're relying on tools that a lot of MarTech tools just focus on cookies, you're going to potentially miss out if there's different people within the sales process that are coming through and touching the website that you just wouldn't be aware of those touch points. You're seeing them, you're able to see that within your CRM with an integrated tool similar to ours, where within the CRM, within the timeline, you're going to see those touch points. So then you're prioritizing, you're reaching out at the right time, and then you can also apply the right messaging as well, because you're seeing all of those touch points, you're able to see what activity is going on, and then you can respond in the right ways because you, I say, understand what's going on in their touch point, you understand their intent a lot further, and then you can also start to add additional value, you can start to enrich as well. So rather than what we see in inbound a lot of the time is marketing, and you get that MQL, and we see one person within that because one person has filled in a form, whereas we can then look to enrich that account further, start to multi-thread, and that's where we normally see success, I'm sure, with the data that you've shifted through before, that when you actually have more of more stakeholders involved is where you're going to see high conversion rates. So that's something that intent data mixed with enrichment, similar to what our tools can provide, that helps you then multi-thread, see those multi-touch actions happening, and then you can improve the velocity of those sales opportunities.
So you're able to see how many different people are from the account?
Correct.
Yeah, that's super.
Correct. Nice. So yeah, within the account timeline, we set a unique identifier for each different visitor that comes through. So you might not always be able to sign up, you know, GDPR compliance and the tooling, you weren't able to see maybe the actual individual, but some cases we can, depending on opt-ins and different things, but you're able to see at least the different people that are, well, number of different people that are engaging. And then I'd say you can start to understand a little bit what's going on at an account level.
That makes a lot of sense. Cool. Is there anything else in related to this buyer intent and how to both what it is and how to act on it you feel that is like really important to get across to people?
Yeah, so one of the nice things due to our partnership, the work we've done with Dream Data, what we've seen a lot within firsthand is so the attribution element. So now that you're able to understand which accounts are making those touch points, you're not just looking at your first touch and last touch, you're actually able to do true attribution and understand all of those different touch points that are going on. So marketing can get the true reward for the work that they're doing, and you can actually tie that ROI back to those different touch points that you're having. As I said earlier on, 190 of days within 190 touch points. So yeah, you're able to attribute those a lot more clearly.
How hard is it to kind of implement buyer intent data? And I'm not talking technically, but more if you get into a team that has never been using it before, what is the typical things you go through to, I'm saying training, but or like educate the companies? I think this for a lot of technology companies, this is also, it's a challenge of, not enough to sign the contract because it's not going to be renewed if the product is not being used. So what is the educational or / training path that is in front of the people who starts being interested in buyer intent data?
Yeah, of course. So it's first important to understand what the current sales and marketing processes look like, what's involved in that, what is the ideal customer profile as well, really key. what are the kind of current things that are sales doing? You know, what information are they currently using as part of their prospecting and research phases? And what does that whole process looks like? Because one of the things that kind of Intent Data does, also enrichment of account level data does, is save a lot of time within that research phase. So we kind of really want to dig into and say what those processes look now, so that we can start to look and improve them slowly. It's very difficult to kind of throw everything off the table and start from scratch. So we like to make small incremental changes, depending on which part of the tooling that they're looking to implement. But first party and then trigger events is going to be a little bit different. You kind of get that with first party, you get that aha moment. How we run things here at Dealfront is that you were able to enter into a 14-day trial. We set the tracker on the website. As soon as the tracker's on, we start to see that data pouring in. So then you kind of have that aha moment when you have that first initial kind of call with the client to show them, these are the accounts that are actually currently on your website. These are the interactions that are happening. These are the channels that are working for you at the moment. These channels aren't at the moment. So maybe that paid activity that you're doing here isn't right for kind of your target audience. And you start to make these small changes, and I'd say it's so tangible because they see the data in front of them. Whereas that pre-intent and trigger information, it can be a little bit difficult because it's more of a change management process that you have to get in, because you need to dig into the current process, understand what that looks like.
What did you call them? Trigger what, Stephen? Sorry, change.
Yeah, so either pre-intent or trigger. So an example of that will be, as say, company is doing, they've got ads for job advertisement on job boards, things like that. That's one of the triggers that we can pull into the account. If there's been funding rounds, we can pull that information. If there's things on social channels as well. So let's say that they're posting on social or news as well. So a really great one is if they are attending events, things like that. So those sort of triggers we can be able to pull into.
I was thinking whether it was workflows that happen after, like, somebody's on your website, then you need to do A, B, C, D afterwards.
Yeah, that's also a big part of Intent Data is building out automation thereafter. So that is something that we do look into. So within first party intent, when you see someone on the site and they've taken these particular actions, so we'll create filters, which we call our custom feeds. So it might be that a particular account has come to the website multiple times, they've viewed so many blogs, and they're now gone to the pricing page. And that might be a criteria that we set with the customer, that's the intent that we want to see before we would send that to our sales team to reach out. And then we'd create a way of how we're going to make sure that that information gets through to that sales individual. So one of the things that we'll look at is, do we want to do that through a Slack channel? Do we want to do that through an email? Do we want to set up a task within the CRM so that they then see that task and do that next step? So we will be looking at what automation, what process we need to be in place, and how we're going to take that actionable bit of information and add that into their process. And whether it's something that's manual, because some organizations aren't in the place of where they can automate a lot of these things, or, you know, for companies that are more advanced and have more automation in place, then how can we add this to their automation processes, and how can we improve from there? That's it, again, in a whole other Pandora's box that we can kind of go into how over time that a lot of Intent Data, kind of very low cost contact data, has meant that a lot of automation and poor automation has been kind of been involved in the industry for a long time, and people have been utilizing automation without a lot of strategy, personalization, using it on autopilot rather than co-pilot. I like to kind of see it as, if you're utilizing automation, it should be used in a way of, it's there as a co-pilot, not an autopilot.
Yeah.
Because if you're throwing a lot of mud at the wall, it's not all going to stick. And especially with the changes that we've just had from Google and Yahoo and limiting on email sends and different things.
Oh yeah,
this is where it's going to be a great point for the industry, where we can actually utilize Intent Data to be able to be more targeted, more focused in our approach, and make sure that we're reaching out to the right audiences with the right messaging at the right time, and we're not just diluting the brand equity by going with that kind of large and wide approach.
When people renew a contract with the DealsFront, what have they experienced? What are the kind of the KPIs that they check off, or what is the ROI that they're looking for? What are kind of the, what is the success metrics of I have mainly the lead feeder use case in mind, but when people renew contracts with you, what have they experienced?
Yeah, it's normally kind of a few different things that they've seen. First is always with any kind of MarTech or sales tech, it's going to be the return on investment. So that is normally the kind of high level priority that normally gives you a tick in the box straight away or not. Ease of use is definitely something that comes into it, how well the team's actually utilizing the platform on a day to day. And that's something that we've always had, you know, a really good feedback on is the ease of use of the platform, how we've been able to, with our great customer success teams, been able to educate and be able to help support our tooling and our data being implemented into sales and marketing strategies. And then, a lot of the times,
ROI means that you've managed to sell to these leads that you discovered through...
Correct, yeah. So how much is the data that's been either... whether it's sourced through our platform, whether we've created the account based on the data that we've provided within our account, or whether it's influenced as well, because we have some points where we might not have been the source of the original opportunity, but we've definitely been at a point of where we've seen those touch points, they've acted on those touch points, and we've been able to improve. So there's sourced and there's the touch elements as well. That comes into, but also as well the time saving that comes into it as well, and the efficiency of teams due to the fact that they don't have to spend a long time doing manual work, manual research. They're able to understand their total addressable market very quickly and be able to then put their sales and marketing plays into action. So a lot of the time we can kind of get that new contract signed just on time saved and efficiencies within team. And then also the improved conversion rates, especially from the lead feeder, but then also from the sales intelligence piece as well on how that's been able to work there.
Wonderful, Stephen. If people want to speak more with you or want to know more about the DealsFront, well, what do they do?
Yeah, of course. So as mentioned, for our first party intent, which is classed as lead feeder, you're able to have a 14-day trial of that platform. So if you head to the website, you're able to sign up to that. And for our sales intelligence piece, there is a free demo available as well. So if you head to the dealfront.com website, you'll be able to look at that there. And also, and a lot of our team are very active on LinkedIn. So you'll see myself and a lot of team members on the LinkedIn network, and we'll be happy to help with any kind of comments or be able to, well, love to connect with you all as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. And to all of you listening, have a great day.
We hope you like listening to us. Subscribe to our podcast and the ones that we have been guests on.
And if you have any feedback for us, just do let us know. And should there be a guest that you think we should be talking to, then like pitch us.
We're looking forward to seeing you.